You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, it was a busy 2 hours, the first two, with David Duke, who is the center of attention in the political universe here in America this
week. And the political cesspool.
And certainly the political cesspool tonight as a result of his, well, did he or did he not host Representative Steve Scalise, the House Majority Whip? Not even he knows, because he wasn't even at that meeting. Some conflicting reports there. Either way, if Steve Scalise had gone to that meeting, it's not nearly the controversy that it should have been for Barack Obama to have attended Jeremiah Wright's church, or Hillary Clinton to go to La Raza, and on and on and on. Because I've spoken to three Euro conferences. It's great people. All right, we got a frat party going on the other side of the studio here. Eddie and Keith just won't stop.
Where's my newspaper?
We got to talk. Wait, but before we get to the newspaper, Keith, I want you to comment on this one story here. Now, hang on here. Hey, Keith, help me out.
Yes, sir.
The Tea Party. Let's give an update on the Tea Party. It's a new year. Let's see what the Tea Party is doing. Where the leader of the Tea Party, according to TeaParty.net, which is the website for the largest conglomeration of Tea Party, Confederates. I've got to be very careful about how I pronounce this guy's name.
No, just spell it. Spell it.
I'll just spell it. It's N-I-G-E-R. That's one G, not two. That's Niger Innes. He's a black gentleman. He may be conservative on some issues, but here's the thing. He is the leader of the Tea Party. Now, when you go to their website, that's all well and good. Listen, I will not be a hypocrite here. If there are black Americans who are conservative and who are with us on the issues, I'll work with them. I'll work with them gladly. I'll work with anybody on any one issue that I agree with them on. But when you go to this guy's website, first of all, blacks are not a significant percentage of the Tea Party, but for the ones that are sincerely conservative, great. How did this guy get to be the leader of the Tea Party? When you go to their website, the first thing you see is an image of Martin Luther King and Frederick Douglass. And it talks about how liberalism has failed blacks and what you can do to help blacks. The Tea Party's official welcome video is all about what we can do to restore Martin Luther King's dream and rebuild urban centers. Now, this is embarrassing. These attempts to turn Martin Luther King into an all-American conservative icon is the very height of absurdity. This is not what he was. This is not what he stood for. All right,
that's not ridiculous.
Only, go, Keith.
It's not just, it's not only stupid, it is chicanery, it is intentional misleading. You know, I was listening to some commentator bemoaning the fact that this wonderful image of Bill Cosby was now being sullied, and what a shame it was that he wasn't what he pretended to be. And as soon as I heard those words uttered, I said, where is this similar criticism of Martin Luther King? Martin Luther King is the one individual who has a national holiday named after him. The other is Jesus Christ. Okay, we don't have Washington's birthday or Lincoln's birthday anymore. We have President's Day. But on the other hand, Martin Luther King was one of the most flawed individuals imaginable. You don't have to have the FBI records of a moral paragon sealed for 50 years, but that's what happened. That's what happened with Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King's records were sealed because the truth about him, as reported by FBI agents who are known for their truth, was so incendiary, so damning, that they couldn't let it out and still get his birthday made a national holiday. And this, of course, was done by that paragon of conservatism, President Ronald Reagan. Now, Ronald Reagan's legacy is flawed, just like the Tea Party will never affect any meaningful change in the United States, because they give a pass to the civil rights movement, and they're still trying to atone for the imagined sins of their forebears in regard to black people. The truth of the matter is that the civil rights movement was just the first of a series of radical egalitarian movements that were intended to transform America into a leftist hellhole, and they've accomplished it. If you give a pass to the civil rights movement, you've given a pass to the entire triumph of liberalism over the past 70 years. And you will notice that whenever the left runs into massive public skepticism over some aspect of their agenda, like global warming, radical feminism, homosexual rights, what do? You immediately see Hollywood churn out a spate of feel-good movies about the civil rights movement, like Selma or The Help.
I want to talk about that very quickly, Keith, and thank you for bringing that up. So here's this movie coming out called Selma, which is going to completely portray the black community as saints and as just moral paragons, as you say, and everyone who resisted that. The federal government is moral paragons, even though they violated the Constitution at no end.
It's worse than the devil himself.
Well, so that's the way it's going to be presented. Now, Oliver Stone, this Hollywood icon, Oliver Stone, it's going to prove their racism. Oliver Stone, a Hollywood lion, this legendary director, was originally attached to this project, but he wanted to portray the real king, flaws and all, the plagiarist, the philanderer, the adulterer,
the physical abuser and sexual abuser of women.
He wanted to portray all of that as it was, in addition to all of the things that he claimed to stand for. They fired Oliver Stone from the project, so now they're going to have this sanitized, this politically correct sanitized version of Selma come to the theaters. It will bomb. You know, Annie was remade. Little Orphan Annie. That movie was remade
now,
with Jamie Foxx.
Sister.
Jamie Foxx as Daddy Warbucks, and Annie was recast as a black girl. That movie bombed. It cost $105 million to produce. It raised $62 million in box office receipts. It bombed. To do that alone was racist. But now Selma will equally bomb in terms of receipts, but it will win an Oscar. I guarantee you that.
And on the other hand, compared to Martin Luther King, Bill Cosby was a plaster saint. He may as well be Saint Francis of Assisi. No one can imagine. On the night before he was assassinated, Martin Luther King had three prostitutes in his room, and he beat up two of them. That was in his records, in his files. It was brought out by Sam Francis and Senator John East at the time that they were considering in the Senate at the, you know, lionization of Martin Luther King by declaring a national holiday in his honor. All of this stuff is there. All of this stuff is now sealed away, and somehow I imagine that when the 50 years are up in the year 2025, another excuse will come by to continue to seal it, because the left cannot allow the truth to come out about their supposed heroes.
Here's the thing. I think it's pretty safe to say that the Tea Party is officially dead, okay? With so-called conservatives like this seeking to redistribute
the
wealth.
Who needs liberals?
Redistribute the wealth with their own brand of compassionate socialism. Who needs radical liberal egalitarians? Now, this black guy, this Niger Ennis, that's his name. I'm not making fun of it. His name's Niger Ennis. He's the executive director of the Tea Party now. You know, he may be good on gun control. He may be good on some of our issues. I'd work with him on those issues. But if his signature issue, if the welcome video of the Tea Party is to say how you can help, how liberals have failed the black community, not all of America, but exclusively the black community. You got Martin Luther King as your standard bearer. This guy wasn't a conservative. He was a Marxist. He was a communist. Tea Party's dead. We got to take a break. We got a lot more with Keith Alexander when we come back. Good sense.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
All right, Keith, I got one more thing I want you to sink your teeth into. We might get Eddie's comment on this as a veteran, but first, you had a final word, I think, on that last story we were covering.
Well, I was looking at the website flashing across your computer as you were looking at that Niger Innes story.
That's theteaparty.net, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, to verify what I was telling you.
And the banner headline was Restore the Dream, obviously referring to the I Have a Dream signature speech of Martin Luther King. What the Tea Party doesn't understand is that Martin Luther King's dream needs no restoration. It is alive and well, kicking and doing exactly what Martin Luther King intended it to do. He was as much of a leftist as anyone you can name. And as a result of his agitations, and you know, that's what Southerners, loyalist type of Southerners back then used to call these people, outside agitators. And unfortunately, that was the absolute correct name for them. They came from out of the South for the most part, and they came down here to get things stirred up. They did, and it was that stirring up and the positive portrayal it received in the national news media that launched the triumph of liberalism that is plaguing us to this day. We would not have had a successful homosexual rights movement, or a successful radical feminist movement, or a successful global warming movement, environmentalist movement, criminal rights movement, had there not been a successful civil rights movement. And unless you attack a cancer at its core and cut out every last vestige of it, it will grow back. So consequently, when the Tea Party gives a pass to the civil rights movement, they're refusing to excise all of the cancer. And as a result, the cancer grows back stronger, more aggressive, and more resistant to change than ever.
That cancer has spread, as we know, to our media, academia, the churches, the military. The military. Now, here we have half of our staff. The only people that did not serve in the military on our staff are myself and Keith Alexander. Eddie says we didn't miss nothing. We have Eddie, we have Art Frith, we have Winston Smith and others who have served. Peter Scoop Stanton was in the Navy. All right, so we know what it is to serve a country. Well, the royal we, I guess you could say, not myself. But anyway, here's the thing. In case you were wondering, the United States military is more focused on political correctness than combat. And here's a story to show you where their priorities truly lie. Now, listen to this. A woman in the Army, now that in and of itself should be a joke.
An oxymoron.
It should be an oxymoron. And listen, women are the fairer sex. Women I revere. I like women a lot. But listen, they shouldn't be soldiers. And listen, it's any country that sends the people whose wombs bear their children into combat, you know, that's a degenerate, reprobate society.
Is there any wonder that we have the lowest birth rate in national history and the lowest rate of marriage in American history at the present time with policies like this?
This is part of it. I mean, women can do things that men can't do. Women have natural abilities and God-given attributes that men don't have. Being a soldier ain't one of them. But the Army's thanking one of the women this week, gave her a medal, Eddie. How many medals did you get in Vietnam? Two tours. How many?
I lost count.
Eddie said he burned all of his, but you didn't get any medals.
Eddie Miller had in common with John Kerry.
He got the standard.
He got service bars and things like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me tell you what this woman did, and I want Eddie to comment on this. Then we got to let Keith have the remainder of the hour. But a woman in the military was given a medal this week for confronting offensive online behavior. Now, here's the story. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel and senior Army officials met with a non-commissioned officer on December the 15th to thank her for leading by example and defending Army values despite facing harassment after confronting service members who were behaving unethically online. First Sergeant Katrina Morick, now the First Sergeant of Charlie Company 741st Military Intelligence Battalion, was browsing social media networks earlier this in December, when she came upon a video that she found offensive and sexist. She commented that the people who put it up were stupid. For that, she received a medal. Listen, you can go read the story at thepoliticalcesspool.org. She said, you know, that it basically was a story, basically videos that took issue with the fact that women are serving in the military ranks, which I agree with. I don't think it was done in poor taste. But anyway, she found it offensive, so she called the people stupid. That's what she called them. She responded to this video saying that
the
people who posted it were stupid. But I guess that's being tolerant and non-offensive.
Well, what did they give her? Did they give her the Congressional Medal of Honor or what?
Well, let me find out. She's got a medal here pinned to her lapel. It doesn't say what medal it was. Let me see.
Tell you what, I've seen the picture. If she's not a Bulldog, she missed a wonderful opportunity.
Okay. Eddie says he doesn't think she missed it. It doesn't say what medal she won. It just says for her willingness to stand up and defend Army values, she received an Army Commendation Medal from Lieutenant General James C. McConville at the Pentagon. And he said, what she did is the epitome of being an NCO and a soldier, and of course a leader. She called people stupid that offended her, so she gets a medal. Eddie, you were in the military.
Remember we had the article years ago about James Alton Gardner? Look under his name, Gardner. Under the Congressional Medal of Honor website and see what he did. A little farm boy from Dyersburg, Tennessee, he got a posthumous Congressional Medal of Honor. This particular soldier gets a similar honor, apparently, for calling somebody or some posting stupid. I tell you what, there's been a great devaluation in getting congressional medals for valor between 1967, when James Alton Gardner died, and today with this particular absurdity. I would call it an enormity, but it's really more of an absurdity.
Out of the three of us in this room tonight, one of them served two tours of duty and was honorably discharged on both occasions. That's Eddie Miller. Your thoughts on this story as a former combat medic?
Well, first of all, I was probably be no shock to y'all, but I was pretty wild and was disciplined a few things, but never for any felonies, never for anything unpatriotic. First of all, I'd like to say this so-called sergeant, she's the one stupid, because when I was inducted into the Army against my will, I was drafted. I had to swear an oath to protect the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and I will take that oath to my grave. I would like to let this sergeant know, you probably swore the same oath in the First Amendment of free speech as part of that amendment, dumb bunny. Secondly, I'd like to make this quick, because I won't take anybody's time up. Getting people in the military, women in the military, is the same strategy as when the CIA used, you know, with the Women's Live movement. They had a whole magazine, Ms. They want to attack the alien Jews in our country. They want to attack white people. They want to break our country down. What better way than to use a policy that's already been proven flawed by Israel, of all people? They don't let women soldiers in the IDF anymore because they were worthless on the battlefield. God bless them. You know, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to break down traditional American values in the country. Family, mother, women, role playing. A woman's role is to be a mother. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to break. That's just one of the 10,000 ways they use to break this country down. Back to you, Keith.
Well, first and foremost, a woman's primary distinctive characteristic is her ability to bear children and to be a mother. Now, gender roles are to be confused. All sorts of liberal movements have this as their goal. You know, radical feminism, homosexual rights, marriage is now something that two women can do, two men can do. It will be men and animals next. Likewise, a soldier used to be something that was a man. Now the gender blenders have made it something that any human being can do.
All right, when we come back, Keith's got some newspaper articles. Eddie the Bombardier Miller is loading his gun. We'll figure out what we're going to do when we come back.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, the American Freedom Party.us.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key.
Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I had to bump Winston Smith tonight. Winston Smith 2 weeks ago was going to give his top 10 most hateful moments of 2014 because of the Sean Bergen live report, because of the news surrounding David Duke tonight, and our willingness to have him on the program this evening. We've had to bump a lot of people. We had to bump Scoop Stanton for 2 weeks, who wanted to give his top 10 moments for the political cesspool in 2014. They will both appear next week, I promise you. Everybody's been pushed back because of the news that, you know, this is live radio. We are susceptible to trends, and we need to cover breaking news as it occurs. And to have a guy like Duke on, who has made so much news this week, you know, he turned down a New York Times interview. But he was on the political cesspool. He was on CNN just a couple hours ago, and we'll put that to our website. I was going to play that clip tonight. We'll put it on our website on Monday. Eddie, very quickly, I know you have a comment. We've got to get back to Keith.
I'd like to go back to something that Dr. Duke said. It's about concerning civil rights, and he said this, and we do not need to attack the civil rights, civil rights movement per se. What we need to attack is the false movement. It's a movement to take over the United States, take over the South, to destroy our values that we hold sacred in this country. And they come into it, these alien Jews came into the South under the false flag. They were flying the flag of civil rights. So what they did didn't concern civil rights. They came in to create strife, bedlam, and violence to try to get the blacks stirred up whom they don't care about. What we need to do is we need to be vocal and say, yes, we are 100% for civil rights. We are for equal rights, civil rights for every citizen of the United States of America. We don't need to play into their game and say, I hate civil rights, it's evil. No, civil rights is good. You know, they mislabeled. The entire so-called civil rights movement in the 1960s was totally a misnomer. That was not civil rights. What you saw was Zionist, Marxist, Trotskyite movement coming in to try to destroy the South.
And listen, we can all say we stand entirely for equal rights for all, special privileges for none. You know, that was actually one of David Duke's slogans in his campaigns for senator and governor, respectively, that I have borrowed and adopted as my own. I am for that. I am for the freedom of all people and all of mankind under law and before God. But here's the thing. Wasn't the civil rights movement, as presented to us, all about blacks having the opportunity to eat at the lunch counters they wanted to, use the restrooms they wanted to, stay in the hotels they wanted to? I was in a hotel room in Memphis, Tennessee with David Duke. The event was not being held there. It was not publicized that he was staying there. The general manager found out it was David Duke staying in this room. I was in the room with him at this time. Knock on the door, general manager of the hotel and an armed policeman. They kicked David Duke out of this hotel room. Not even as a private citizen was he allowed to rent a room and sleep there the night because of who he was. Now, you tell me who has civil rights and who doesn't in Barack Obama's America, Keith.
Well, what's that passage from the Bible that says every fox has his den and whatnot, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head, right? Now, let me tell you what some of these articles were that I wanted to get to. Yes, last Sunday on Meet the Press, they had a black spokesperson, another nameless black spokesperson, who came on to debate with some Hollywood people who just happened to be Jewish. They weren't announced as being Jewish. I knew they were because I can know. I'm Jew-wise. I know Jewish names. I know Jewish features. And that's what these people were. And basically, they were in the Amen corner saying that, agreeing with this guy, that blacks are underrepresented compared to white people. And, of course, that's completely false if you take Jews at their own estimation, which is that they are separate and apart from whites. If you subtract the Jews in Hollywood from the group that are putatively white, then you find that white Gentiles are much less represented in Hollywood than any other demographic category based upon their incidence in the general population. White Gentiles are approximately 60% of the entire population of the United States at the present time. Blacks are now 14%. They're at least 25% of the movie stars at this time. So they're overrepresented based on their incidence in the general population. Whites are approximately 60% if you include Jews. But if you take Jews out, the white group of Gentiles is less than 20%, right around 20%, when they're 60% of the population of the United States. So they are less than one-third represented based on their incidence in the population. See, we've got to explode this myth. We're going to have to make Jews stand up and take accountability for their own overrepresentation in elite colleges and universities, in Hollywood, in positions of power and authority, on the Federal Reserve Board, for example, one of Eddie's favorite topics. It's not fair to white Gentiles. It was our ancestors that carved this nation out of a wilderness and turned it into a great nation, a beacon for all the nations of the world. It's been taken over systematically by Jewish power and influence, and they continue to use blacks and other so-called minority groups as a hammer, as a weapon to reduce our influence in the halls of power and in wealth. So consequently, that's the type of thing that needs to be brought up on this show, and I've just done it. Now, what else have we got? I've got an article from the Commercial Appeal, our local fish wrap, from Thursday, January the 1st, New Year's Day. And the headline was, Dual Vote Upheld for Government Consolidation. Appellate Court Disallows Challenge by Memphis Group. The U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals has upheld a lower court dismissal of a lawsuit challenging the dual vote for consolidated government, requiring separate passage within Memphis and outside the city. Outside the city, of course, is majority white. They're the ones that are going to be consolidated into a government basically controlled by Memphis, which is a black majority city. Now, also there is a law that has been passed by the Tennessee legislature that says that a city cannot annex an area unless the residents of that area vote in a majority to be annexed. Now, this never happens, particularly when you have a black city like Memphis trying to annex predominantly white areas like non-incorporated Shelby County. So these are two great victories for the right. We need to recognize that. We need to announce it, trumpet it. This is what's happening to us. We are finally winning. One of the results of Barack Obama's election as president has been the transformation of state legislatures in many red states in America, like Tennessee. There are now three black members of the Tennessee Senate. They're all from the Memphis area, which is the only major city in Tennessee with a majority black population. Consequently, Democrats are an endangered species in many state legislatures, and as a result, you're getting a lot of conservative laws passed, like the two laws I just mentioned, the one about consolidation and having to have a dual vote, not just one vote all over. And likewise, if a city proposes to annex an area, the people that are being annexed have to be in favor of it. This is a major impediment to the left, which uses tyrannical power and urban centers in order to try to govern states. That's what the Baker versus Carr decision back in 1962 was all about. If you read about that in a constitutional law class in high school, in college, or even in law school, Baker versus Carr is proposed to be the best thing since floating soap. what has happened is that it enshrined the one man, one vote principle in the election of state legislatures. What they don't tell you is that basically what it overturned was an electoral process that mirrored the federal process, where you have the House of Representatives, which is based upon pure population numbers. And against that, you have the Senate, which gives you geographic representation. Every state has two senators, whether they're very underpopulated, like the state of Wyoming. The state of Wyoming has one representative in Congress, but it has two senators in the Senate. Likewise, California has 45 members of the House of Representatives, but only two senators, just like Wyoming. The Founding Fathers, in their wisdom, did this, and the Supreme Court under Earl Warren scuttled it. Thank goodness we're beginning to correct the balance. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk more after these words from our sponsor.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guy's giant factory authorized sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high quality Mountain House freeze dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now is the time to stock up with the finest, best tasting, longest proven shelf life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the giant factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, it's been a busy show tonight, I'll tell you that. Like I said, I've been running 3 weeks behind since Thanksgiving in terms of getting everything on. We're going to have Scoop and Winston on next week to offer their wrap-ups on 2014 and a look ahead to the year to come. We're just running behind. What can we do? We're the victim of the news. Keep in mind, folks, that David Duke was on CNN just a couple of hours ago, right immediately before his appearance on the Political Cesspool tonight. And so we will be featuring that. I was going to play that segment tonight on the air. We don't have time. I'm going to feature that on the website on Monday at thepoliticalcesspool.org so you can catch that if you missed it on CNN.
Eddie's going to be on the rally, right?
Well, we can't talk about that, Eddie. Yes, yes, but you are correct. All right. We only have a few minutes left, and before this segment is over, we're going to give a minute to both Keith Alexander and Eddie Miller. We were supposed to spend an hour on this tonight, but again, news has intruded on what these gentlemen's what the vision is of these two gentlemen for the year to come for the political cesspool. So we're going to give them a minute each to tell us what they want the show to accomplish in the year to come and what they hope the show will go, where we will go in the year to come. That will be before the sand. As they said in that great soap opera, as the sands of the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. Yeah. So is the time we have on the show. I can't remember the exact quote. You know what I'm talking about?
The days of our lives.
Yeah, it was the days of our lives. But anyway. All right, Keith, before we get to that, you've got some more things to come.
Well, I want to speak before the time passes about the national championship semifinal game this past New Year's Day. And in particular, the Alabama-Ohio State game. Now, we're going to give you a read on what happened and why that you're not going to get from any other media outlet. And here goes. Alabama was extolled to be the best team in America. And if you didn't believe it, then you were a fool. In fact, they were saying that the Southeastern Conference generally and the Southeastern Conference Western Division in particular was head and shoulders above every other conference in the United States in terms of quality of football. Now, why did they say that? They said it because the Southeastern Conference has more black players, a higher percentage on their starting 11s, than any other conference. If you looked at the Ohio State team, for example, it was about half white, half black. If you looked at Alabama, 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense were black. The only time you saw a white person on the field with an Alabama uniform was when the punter or the field goal kicker or extra point kicker came onto the field. That's what whites have been relegated to since the integration of the league occurred in 1972. Now, why did Alabama lose? Very simply, they had a fifth-year senior black quarterback who had sat the bench for the previous 4 years. They had obtained a white quarterback who, by all accounts, was by far a superior talent to Blake Sims. And he was not allowed to start in the wisdom of Nick Saban, the head coach. And I want to speculate as to why that was. Was it because Blake Sims was a better quarterback? No, it was because the black players on offense and defense would have been aggrieved if this Johnny-come-lately white quarterback had come in and started before Blake Sims. Blake Sims is a gutty player and a talented player, but he's not talented enough to be the top guy in
David Duke's calling Keith right now.
Okay. what is happening is this. Blake Sims should probably be the quarterback at a place like, Furman or something like that, but not at the University of Alabama. He had several meltdowns through the year, and his ultimate meltdown was in this game against Ohio State, which had a better defense, which was populated about 50% by white players. See, we here at this political cesspool celebrate diversity. The people who profess to celebrate diversity want no diversity whatsoever as long as black people come out on top. When black people can dominate a sport like boxing or college football or professional football, all's right with the world. When white people dominate a sport like in golf or in baseball or tennis, then some foul, honky, racist plot must be behind it, because everybody knows that blacks are supposed to be superior athletes. Well, Blake Sims was an affirmative action quarterback for Alabama, and the chickens finally came home to roost on the University of Alabama. That's our read here at the Cesspool. Now, Eddie, give us your comments.
You kind of stole my thunder. I've been preaching that same song to my wife, Brenda, all week. I told her that, you know, Nick Saban's no fool. He knew exactly what you said, Keith. That's what I've been telling Brenda all week. That if he did not put that fifth-year senior, a black who's been a quarterback at the University of Alabama for 5 years, if he didn't put him in there, he would. I'm pretty sure I would be really shocked if he didn't have trouble out of his other black athletes, his other black players. And you're right, the guy, the white player you're talking about, his name is Coker. He came in from Florida State University. He's got a rifle arm. The quarterback Sims threw, I believe, four interceptions, threw two in the last 4 minutes of the game, when he's known to have an inferior arm to a Coker, right? And heavy feet. You know, Coker has a rifle arm. That's what he's known for. Maybe he'll get to play next year. But you nailed it, Keith. You certainly did. You nailed it right on the money. My wife Brenda can tell you that. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm so sad to see the SEC being taken over completely by blacks. And I don't understand why white people could just keep putting billions of money into the game.
And particularly when you see almost every face in the stands white. Yeah. Okay.
Same way with basketball.
Yeah, why do white people
but you're,
to put
you're
up
one
with
of them every week at the Vaught Hemingway Stadium. Vaught Hemingway Stadium. I got Keith to laugh on that one. You're at every Ole Miss game, but it is your alma mater.
Well, look here. You get some chops in on me on Ole Miss football, and I'll get some in on you on David Duke. Okay.
Okay. All right. Very quickly. Now, that was listen. I watched the Portland. I watched the Portland Trailblazers. I buy the NBA League Pass to watch the Portland Trailblazers.
We need to have a league of our own, as I say. We've had ones about women playing baseball, and of course they were better than men in a league of our own. And then we had all this extolling of the people in the old Negro league. Memphis used to have a team called the Memphis Red Sox. But, you know, now the shoe is it's entirely turned. It's like the world upside down, as Lord Cornwallis's band played at Yorktown. Now we're the ones that are shut out from the action.
All right, let's keep the mic, Keith. We have 2 minutes left in the show. I was going to spend an hour tonight before this news broke with Duke earlier in the week, and I'm so glad we had him on. This is what separates our show from everybody else, the willingness to have him on and talk about the issues, let him speak in his own words. Everybody else will talk about him. We're the only ones that will talk with him, and I'm proud of that, and I wouldn't change that for the world. But we were going to spend an hour in the third hour tonight talking about where we each want the show to go in 2015. I'm far too exhausted, and of course time doesn't permit for me to do it. But I will say I just want to survive another year. I want the support of our listening audience. Listen, folks, what you've seen the last 3 weeks with Sean Bergen and David Duke, Sean Bergen live on the streets with exclusive reporting, top-notch reporting on these racially motivated murders of these two police officers. David Duke tonight, giving him a fair hearing. This is what separates our show from everyone else. Support us. We have to have your support, folks. We've got so much to do. We need your financial support and your prayers. I just hope to make it another year. I believe that we will. When I get rested tonight, I'll feel better in the morning. Guys, a minute each. Go. Go, Keith.
Look, I'll be very brief. I want the political cesspool to be in the vanguard of a conservative renaissance in America. I want red state values to gain control of the American government. I want us to bring America back. Barack Obama wanted to change America. I want America to change back. And I want it to change back with the political cesspool and its values being in the forefront. I'm going to turn it over to Eddie now. Eddie, what's your vision?
My vision is I would like for, first of all, the we're stretched in already, but the staff of the political cesspool become more proactive on the streets. For instance, doing investigations down in Batesville, Mississippi, to how that little white lady was murdered. But we didn't have enough staff. I'd like to do that. Secondly, I would like to go out, and this concerns our listening audience, our brothers and sisters. I would like to get more Scoop Stantons involved, more Matthews involved, to Burgess. I would like to get more of our people going like that, to go out on the street and do investigative projects, to preach the gospel that we were talking tonight. Take the gospel of the political cesspool into your churches, into your clubs, into your schools, into the streets. You need to, in schools, and you need to become, we all need to become more proactive, and I'd like to do more projects here in the cesspool.
Hey, God bless you both. God bless you, Keith. God bless you, Eddie. So stretched for time tonight. What a great way to rock in the new year, folks. We had some fireworks tonight, boy. Bless you all, everyone. God bless you. I'll be back next week if my kids don't kill me. We love y'all. Good night.